The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Hallelujah. Psalm 118. Here's what we're going to do that's out of the ordinary. How many know when something's out of the ordinary, it's extraordinary? We're going to do something extraordinary. Together, we're in unity going to declare what this psalm says, and that's going to be our diving board to launch into the pool of what God has for us today. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Guess what we're going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about trusting in the Lord. How many know that Proverbs chapter 3 tells you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding? It's almost impossible to trust the Lord while you're trying to figure everything out. Might be impossible. But he just flat out tells us to trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. So it's pretty obvious that leaning on your own understanding is the opposite of trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Amen? So, we're going to get right into the meat of the matter. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 of Mark's beautiful gospel, chapter 5. Verse 21, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him, and while he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. She's 12 years old," in case you don't know that. Other Gospels tell us that. "Please come, put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." Look up from your Bible for a second. Ruler of the synagogue comes. His 12-year-old little girl is laying at home. She's becoming less and less responsive. Even back then, without an MRI, they could tell this little girl is fading away. She's dying. This guy has everything to lose if he's caught going to Jesus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. They'll kick him out of there. They thought Jesus was some rogue preacher that had gone astray and was blaspheming and all kinds. They accused him of everything. His little daughter is lying at home, and he learns about the ministry of Jesus and how Jesus has healed and the compassion that Jesus had on a leper and the compassion that Jesus had on this person and that person. And all of a sudden, inside of him, he's like, "I don't care. I don't care about my position. I don't care about anything but my little girl." And he goes and he literally throws himself down at the feet of Jesus. And he literally begs him, he pleads with him, "Oh, Lord, my little daughter is at home and she is lying at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her and she will be healed." That's faith. But I want to ask you this. What kind of emotions do you think this man's having? I heard his words, and I love his words. I appreciate his words. Jesus loved his words. But what do you think he's feeling? I think he's feeling desperate. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd also be tempted, if I was in his shoes, to be feeling fear. I'd be afraid that before I could get to Jesus or before I'd get back, that my little daughter might die because she's lying at the point of death. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my little girl. That's why I'm willing to throw my whole career away to go to Jesus. Because I'm afraid to be without my little girl. I can't even imagine. I'm desperate. I got all this stuff going on. I wouldn't be Mr. Calm. So I'm feeling desperate. I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. Here's what the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Holy Spirit said, "Here's the truth." I said, "Yes, sir. I'm ready." He said, "It all depends on what you're focusing on as to what you'd be feeling." Where's your imagination at? Are you walking over there imagining your daughter's funeral? Imagine her taking her last breath while you're not even there? Is that what you're imagining? Then you're going to be overwhelmed with fear because you're focused on that. But if your focus is on the faithfulness of the one you've heard, who is the healer and can certainly do it, if that's where your focus stays, you're not going to be feeling fear. You're going to be feeling excitement. Come on, one man's Goliath is another man's target practice. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to say it again. It all depends on what you're focused on. It all depends on what you're focused on. What are you thinking? What are you imagining? What are you letting roll over and over on the inside of you? If your focus is on the faithfulness of God, it's going to be a whole different picture. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 24 now. So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding, issue of blood for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal. I imagine so, 12 years of that medical condition. And not only that, but in their law, by Jewish law, she's declared to be unclean. If she was married, she couldn't. Her husband couldn't even touch her. If she sat down on the side of the bed, they got to take the sheets off. They got to do this stuff. And it was all about God trying to protect them. That's what all their dietary laws and all that stuff was about. But it also brought, in her case especially, a heap of condemnation. In the Chosen, they portray her as being rejected even by her own father. And I could certainly agree with that. That was after that long period of time, says she can't come in our house, she can't go to synagogue, she can't do this. Here's what their thinking would be. Obviously, God has cursed her for some evil thing that she has done. That's what they would think. That's not true. But that's what they would think. And they said, well, we got to get her away from us. So she's been rejected. She suffered. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she had spent all that she had, and instead of getting better, what did she do? She got worse. Obviously, listen to this wisdom. If what you're doing ain't working, maybe you ought to do something different. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, behind him. The other guy came and fell there in front of him, right? Because he's not overwhelmed with condemnation. He's just desperate. She's overwhelmed with condemnation. If she touches the rabbi, she'll make him unclean. They drag her over there and stone her to death for doing that. That's where she's at. That's the reality of her world. If you were in that position, if you were caught out in the public street and you're unclean and they could literally drag you off and punish you for it, how many of you think if she ain't careful, she might be afraid? Her desperation's driving her toward an answer, but I'm going to tell you something. You can be desperate and driven toward an answer and still be eat up with fear. She could have been overwhelmed with fear, but let me ask you something. Does her circumstance mean that she has to be afraid? No. Depending upon what she's focused on. Is she focused on her uncleanness when she comes up? Some might say yes. I would say no. I'd say she was focused on her healing. She didn't see nothing but herself healed. She didn't see herself touching the rabbi, him becoming unclean, her still having an issue, they're dragging me off and stoning me. She didn't picture none of that. I guarantee you the enemy would love to have her picture all that, and then we wouldn't be reading about her healing. The enemy would love to use fear tactics to keep you from ever responding with faith tactics. Faith tactics instead of fear tactics. Come on. I'll keep reading about her. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, verse 28, because she thought, Matthew's gospel says she said to herself, so I believe she was thinking out loud, saying to herself, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I could touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That word she thought or she said to herself means muttering. She's saying it over and over and over and over and over again. What's she focused on? Healing. Healing. She's not focused on bleeding. She's focused on healing. If you know somebody who has cancer, tell them to quit focusing on cancer and start focusing on Christ. I know people who've had miraculous healing from cancer. I know people who've had medical healings with the blessing of God upon it. But every person that I do know that has been miraculously healed from cancer or that I've known of got their focus completely on the healer, not the health issue. We all have people that we know and love and have and they're in heaven waiting for us right now because they did not receive their earthly healing in their earth suit. That does not mean that they were unbelievers or doubters or none of that stuff. See, well, why did they pass away then? I don't know. Maybe they were just homesick for heaven. I don't know. I don't know what goes on inside of a person. I know this. If you're believing God for your healing and you don't get it and you pass away, you're just going to have to spend eternity with Jesus. That's all. Wow. You only have two choices in this world. You either trust Jesus or you don't. That's the only two choices there are. Trust God, trust Jesus, or don't. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to trust him no matter what happens. And if it don't go the way I think it ought to go and I leave this world, so be it. I'm going to hear, hey, you were believing me right up to the minute you took that last breath. Praise God, enter in here. But every person I know who has received miraculous healing has done it because they were focused on the healer. That's all I'm saying today. Are we good? We're all on the same page. If you're feeling like, oh my gosh, well, I wish I wasn't even here to hear that. That hurts me. Don't let it hurt you. Your loved one is with Jesus. We all got loved ones with Jesus. I don't grieve about that. I celebrate it. Every time I drive by the home where my dad spent his last time on earth, and I was there with him that day he left, Mom and I were there. You say, you're going to talk about that? Your mom's right here, you insensitive thing. We're not grieving. We're rejoicing. Do we miss him? Yes. Every time I think about him, I just rejoice. Because I know from this word, this faithfulness of God, where he's at. Amen. Now I can move on. She was focused on healing. That's what she was focused on. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Verse 29, immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What came first, the feeling or the faith? The answer is the faith. Faith always precedes feelings. You say, I'm trying to stand in faith, but I don't feel it. Keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. Deny your feelings the opportunity to rule over you. Whose feelings are they? Come on, whose feelings are they? My feelings belong to me. That means I get to tell them how I want to feel. I just feel blah, blah, blah. Well, quit. If you're having tormenting feelings, I know it sounds like I'm not caring when I say, well, quit. But that really is, listen to me, please, that really is the answer. You can't wait for the feelings to just begin to go. They're going to intensify if you let them. You have to take control. What is it that provokes me to feel a certain way? The answer's simple. It's what I'm focusing on. And who gets to choose that? Satan? No. God? Not even him. I do. I choose what I focus on. And what I focus on is going to affect my thoughts. And my thoughts are going to give birth to my feelings. See, I got feelings I don't want to have. Well, then back up and change the way you're thinking by what you're focusing on. Focus on the Word and say, well, the Word says this. And I'm going to put the Word top priority in my life. And I'm going to stay focused on that. Like Jairus, my little daughter is at the point of death lying at home. That's a fact, but that ain't what he's focused on. He says, you come lay your hand on her and she will live. She'll be healed. That's what he's focused on. And that faith moved Jesus and he went. And then this woman comes along and she gets her healing, but it took up some time. And she gets her healing, but it took up some time. Jesus stopped at once. Verse 30, Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned to the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? Verse 31, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? In other words, I like to say it this way. Peter steps up and goes, how can you ask who's touching you? I mean, who ain't touching you? But he's like, no. Listen to me. It's not casual contact that releases the anointing. Not that you brushed up against the presence of God accidentally. That's not what releases the anointing. The anointing of God is released by a purposeful touch. You say, well, I can't touch Jesus. He's in heaven. You can touch Jesus. Your faith will reach right through that curtain in heaven, right into the Holy of Holies, right where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Your faith will reach right on in there, and you can touch Jesus anytime. You don't even have to go to his geographic location like she did. He's right where you are. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. He's with us. But you do have to purposefully make contact with his presence. You got to make contact with his presence on purpose. And when she did that, virtue went out from him, power. He stopped and he says, who touched me? And they're like, well, Lord, everybody's touching you. How can you ask who touched it? He says, no, somebody touched me. And he waited. Listen to me carefully. Her physical healing has manifested, but her healing's not finished yet.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Her physical healing has manifested, but her healing's not finished yet. If she leaves at that point, I bet you she'd been bleeding again within an hour, because the enemy would have come in. I guarantee you this, he would have come in there and jumped on her with both feet, start condemning her for touching the rabbi, start condemning her for being selfish, start condemning her for this and condemning her for that and condemning her. And he'd get her in just a short period of time to go, I'm a wretched, miserable, sorry thing. I don't deserve the healing. And the healing would go. So Jesus stopped and he goes, somebody touched me with, almost that way, with their faith. Who was it? Who was it? The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. She didn't sneak up this time, did she? Something changed besides just that bleeding. Trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. That might take a minute. He said to her, after hearing her story about how she had suffered and all the stuff, daughter, your faith has healed you. Question, did Jesus heal the woman with the issue of blood? He did not. Her faith in Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus might have been the source of the power, as he certainly was, but he was very specific. Your faith is what caused this to happen. Can I say it this way? I'm going to back up and say, he goes, your faith caused this to happen, because your feeling caused this to happen, because your focus caused this to happen. You focused on the healing. You focused on the end result. Your feeling was, if you can just touch him, you will be healed. And because of that, you were. See, everything the enemy tries to use against you, your imagination, was actually given to you by God as a gift to be used for you. If you will imagine yourself healed, if you will imagine yourself provided for, if you will imagine yourself reconciled if you've got problems with the relationships, if you will imagine yourself whatever it is, that, and stand on the promise of God and focus on His faithfulness, and when you think about the situation, you use your God-given imagination to literally get a picture of yourself being that. And then align your focus with that. And when your focus is aligned with it, your feelings will begin to align with it. When your feelings align with it, your words will align with it. And guess what grips the switch of the power of God? It's your faith words. Not your fear words. Thank God for that. But I'll tell you what, there's an enemy you have, and he will use every fear word against you. Keep reading. Daughter, your faith healed you. Go in shalom. That's what the actual word is. That means wholeness. It doesn't mean peaceful, fuzzy, warm feelings. You know what that word peace is there? It's the same word that rebuked the storm. Remember Jesus standing up in the boat with his disciples? They're terrified. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. What's Jesus doing? He's in the back of the boat on a cushion, sleeping. They wake him up. They say, Lord, don't you even care? We're going to drown here. These are fishermen, seasoned fishermen. The reason why that storm scared them so much is because it was not a natural storm, it was a supernatural storm. Because on the other side of that sea that they were going, there was a man in the Gadarenes who was possessed of a whole bunch of demons, and Jesus was on a mission to go over there and set him free, and Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. He didn't say why, but that's the why. So between point A and point B, the enemy shows up with a big old storm and causes a whole bunch of chaos and fear and to try to distract them, to get them to say, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. You know what? You say it. You believe it. You're going to see it. If Jesus wasn't there in the boat with them, they would all drown it. Where's your focus? Jesus was not afraid when he was in that boat with the disciples. Amen? They were, but Jesus wasn't. Back to our story today. Woman, go in peace, be freed from your suffering. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus. Your daughter's dead. I'd be tempted to not hear anything after that. Your daughter's dead. There's no need to bother the teacher anymore. Translation, too late. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Do not be afraid. That's a pretty mild translation of what that actually says. Do you know what it actually says? Stop the fear now. I'm not angry with you for having fear. I'm angry at fear for trying to have you. If we don't stop it, it'll overcome you. So stop the fear. I can't stop fear. I can't help how I feel. Yes, you can, because you get to choose what you focus on. I might not be able to control my feelings, but I can control what produces my feelings. That's the truth. And you can too. But it's going to take some practice in it. Because I didn't grow up that way. And I'm pretty sure you didn't either. So I never heard anything like this. Well, now you have. Does it line up with the word? Absolutely. So we want to live it. I'm not saying we're going to walk out here today and say, oh, wow, I got that down. This is going to take work. You're going to have to catch yourself. When you start feeling something you know you shouldn't feel, you have to stop and say, why am I feeling this? Because I'm focused on something that I shouldn't be focused on. Well, what do I need to focus on then? Lord, show me. Go back to the word. Focus on his promise. One time someone said a whole bunch of hurtful words to me. And I was so hurt that immediately after I got out of the presence, I made a list of every ugly, evil thing they said to me. Don't know why I did it. It was like I was going to take it to a court of law and hold it against them, right? But that's where I was at. I was hurt. So I wrote down every evil, ugly thing they said to me, about five sentences of it. I mean some ugly stuff. Because hurt people say hurtful things. And usually, when someone says something hurtful to me, usually because I hurt them first. Just throwing that out there. I was writing them, and I wrote the last one down. What am I focused on while I'm doing that? I'm focused on what they said. And all of a sudden, as I'm writing them, my writing gets a little less clear each line. And the letters get a little bigger each line. Do you understand that? My blood pressure started going up. I'm writing little bitties like this. And then I get to the end and go, WORDSMATTER. Words matter. That's how I felt about it. And then the Holy Spirit in his beautiful, soft, sweet voice said this. He said, words do matter. But forgiveness matters more. I'm going to tell you the truth. I had to take a deep breath when he said that. And I said, you're right. My feelings didn't change, but my focus immediately did. I still felt angry and hurt, but I turned my focus off of the angry, hurtful things, and I put my focus on what the Lord said. And shortly thereafter, my feelings changed. I immediately took what the Lord said and made a willful decision, not because I felt it. Lord, forgive them for what they said, and forgive me for provoking them to say it. I can never point my finger at someone else if there ain't three or four of them pointing back at me. Why do you observe the splinter in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Jesus didn't say, mind your own business. You know what he said? He said, first remove the log from your eye, then you can see clearly to help your brother get the splinter out of his own eye. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So while Jesus was still speaking, they came and they said, you know, your little daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher? Jesus, ignoring what they said, told the synagogue ruler, do not be afraid. Just believe. There's lots of good translations of this verse. King James Version is good. Be not afraid, only believe. Whose choice is that? Well, it must be his, because Jesus wouldn't tell him if it wasn't his choice. Jesus is in essence saying you need to choose not to be afraid, and you need to choose to believe or trust or have faith. Choose that. Not about feelings, about focus. Be not afraid, only believe. Listen to these translations. The Passion, don't yield to fear. Don't yield to it. All you need to do is keep on believing. The Message translation, don't listen to them, just trust me. Don't listen to them what? Well, most of the time in my life, it's not them, those messengers that came. It's thoughts. Even if the messenger comes, I might not even understand what they said. But I guarantee one thing, I hear my thoughts clearly. Well, I hear thoughts clearly. Some of them I start discerning, all of a sudden I go, that's not my thought. And it sure ain't God's thought. And I don't want to think that thought. That must have come from somewhere that's not God and not me. What am I going to do with that? I'm going to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. That's another lesson for another day, but you can do that. You can monitor your thought life. In other words, you can focus your focus. Ignoring what they said, don't be afraid. Verse 37, he didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. But when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion. People crying, wailing. Pause for a second. Say this out loud with me. Any commotion that doesn't lead you to devotion is simply emotion. God gave you emotions, but you're not supposed to be led by them. You've got to readjust the focus. He saw the commotion, the professional mourners. He went in and he said to them, why all this commotion, why all this wailing? And then he said these words, the child is not dead, but asleep. How many know they were savvy enough they could probably tell the difference between natural sleep and she's dead? So Jesus is not medically illiterate. He's a person of faith. They laughed at him. King James says they derided him. Derided, what's that mean? It means they ridiculed him, they mocked him, they made fun of him. For what? For calling things that are not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, God called things that were not as though they were, because he called Abraham, an old man with no children, the father of many nations. If I'm going to have God's kind of life, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to put my feelings aside by readjusting my focus so that what I speak is I'm calling things that are not so that they will become. I want to develop God's will in my life. Amen? We're the producers. Oh, my God, don't do this for me. God gave you authority and power in your life. Use it. Moving on. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Here's a word for you that I skipped over a while ago, but I can't skip it. You can't have it both ways. One of the ministers I greatly respect says this. He says, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And contaminated faith doesn't produce results. How do I stop the fear? By changing my focus. Here's something for you to think about. Fear happens when this, when you forget every amazing revelation of God, either temporarily or permanently. You just forget who God is. Doctor comes in and says, you got incurable liver cancer. You got 6 months to live. Better remember who God is. Appreciate your training, doctor, medically speaking, but I just respectfully disagree, doc. On the basis of this, this body that you're looking at, it doesn't belong to me. It was actually purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ to be his temple. And he healed diseases that were worse than the one you just told me I had. So I just respectfully disagree that I'm going to die in 6 months, and I'm just going to tell you this. I will live and not die, and I will declare the praises of God in the land of the living. I just quoted you the word of God. I got to turn my focus off of that medical report, and I've got to put my focus on God's faith report. They walk in and say, listen, we got to close the company down. Inflation, sorry, you're out of a job. And by the way, your 401k, that went away too. You got nothing. I said, well, I heard your words, but I respectfully disagree. Because I'm going to turn my focus off of that report you just gave me, and I'm going to turn over here and I'm going to say, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Fear only happens when we forget who God is. And faith happens when I just stay focused on trusting him. Simple as that. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.